December 28, 1938. The echo between creator and creature. How one act in the divine will can be found everywhere. The king in the army. The maternity of the queen of heaven. Although my poor mind is under the nightmare of tormenting sufferings, to the extent of feeling as if I were dying, I do what I can to follow the acts of the supreme volition. I look for it, though with difficulty, as my refuge, to draw strength in this painful state in which I find myself. My beloved Jesus, feeling compassion for me, all tenderness told me, daughter of my will, courage. Don't lose too much heart. Despondency makes you lose strength, and makes you feel as if the one who lives in you and loves you so much, is far away from you. You must know that as the creature enters our will to give her will and to take ours, she starts our divine echo in it. As we hear this echo in our divine being, we say, who is so much virtue as to produce the echo of her love, of her breathing and heartbeat in our supreme being? Ah! It is a creature who has recognized our will and entered to live in it. Be welcome. We will make her hear our echo in return, so that we'll breathe with one breath, love with one love, beat with one heartbeat. So we will feel the life of that creature within us. We will never feel lonely, and she too will feel our life in her, the company of her creator who never leaves her alone. You have to know that no act done in our will ever ends. Rather, it is continuously repeated, since my will is everywhere. That act is repeated in heaven, in created things and in all else. Therefore, one act in my will surpasses everything, filling heaven and earth, and giving us so much love and glory that all other works remain like many little drops before the ocean. We glorify ourselves through the creature who, covered by her creator, operates together with him. Therefore, no matter how many beautiful things may be done outside of our will, they will never please us, because they are not ours. They cannot be diffused everywhere. Such love is so small that it barely covers the act it made, if it covers it at all. You must know that, although we love the creature very much, we cannot tolerate having her with us so indecent, filthy, without beauty, naked, and covered with miserable rags. It would not be worthy of our majesty to have children who do not look like us, or who are not, somehow, well dressed with the clothes of our fiat. It would happen as to the king whose army and subjects are covered with filth disgusting just to look at. One is blind, one crippled, another deformed. Wouldn't it be a dishonor for this king to be surrounded by an army of pathetic wretches? Shouldn't this king be condemned if he doesn't bother to form an army worthy of himself? Shouldn't all remain in admiration not only at the sight of the majesty of this king, but also at his ordered and beautiful army, the blooming of the young, and the way they are dressed? Would it not be an honor for the king to be surrounded by ministers and an army pleasing to his sight? Now, since we want to deal with the creature, one-on-one, we have disposed in our invincible love and infinite wisdom to give her our will, so that she would be embellished with its light, clothed with its love, and sanctified with its sanctity. See then, how necessary it is that our will reign in the creature. Only our will has the power to purify and embellish, so as to form our divine army. And we will feel honor to live with them, and they with us. They will be our children surrounding us, dressed with our divine clothes, and embellished with our image. Therefore, our will purifies, sanctifies and embellishes first. Then it admits them into our will, to live together with us. Furthermore, as the creature enters our will, our love is such that we shower her with our rain of love, and all run around her seeing that we love her so much. The angels and the saints run to her to love her. The very creation joyfully exults in seeing our will triumphant in that creature. They all pour love on her. Oh, how beautiful she is, loved by all of us. And she feels so grateful for this love that she loves everyone in return. After this, I continued my round in the divine volition and I arrived at the point of the birth of little Jesus, who was shivering for the cold, and wept and cried bitterly, with his eyes all swallowed in tears. He looked at me, asking for help, and between sobs and sighs he told me, "My good daughter, the lack of love from the creatures makes me cry bitterly. As I see that I am not loved, I feel wounded and the pain is so great that I burst into tears. My love runs over each creature, chasing her. It hides her while I replace her life with my life of love. But creatures, ungrateful, don't even say one I love you. How could I not cry? Therefore, love me and calm my tears. Now, my daughter, listen to me and pay attention. I want to tell you a great surprise of our love, and nothing must escape you. I want you to know the extent of the maternity of my celestial mother, what she did, how much it cost to her, and what she is still doing. You must know that the great queen was not my mother only in conceiving me, delivering me to the light, feeding me with her milk, and offering me all the possible cares that I needed during my infancy. This was not enough, either to her maternal love, or to my love as her son. Her maternal love was always running through my mind, and if sorrowful thoughts were troubling me, she laid her maternity in each one of them, hiding them inside her love and kissing them. I could always feel my mind as if it was hidden under her maternal wings, that never left me alone. Each one of my thoughts was kept by my loving mother, who gave me all her maternal attentions. Her maternity was placed in each one of my breaths and heartbeats. And if my breath and heartbeats felt smothered by my love and suffering, she would run with her maternity to free me from my suffocating love and put balm on my pierced heart. If she looked, spoke, worked and walked, she ran, as a mother, to receive in her maternal love my glances, words, works and steps, investing them with her love and hiding them in her heart. She would also make her maternal love flow in the food she prepared for me, so that while eating it, I could feel her loving maternity. How much more could I tell you the expression of her maternity in my sufferings? There was not a pain, not a drop of the blood I shed that was not felt by my mother. But after doing these things as my mother, she would then take all my pains and my blood, and hide them inside her maternal heart to love them and continue her maternity. Who could say how much she loved me and how much I loved her? My love was such that in everything, I could not be without feeling her maternity within me. I can say that she would run, never to leave me alone, not even in my breathing. And I called her. Her maternity was for me a need, a relief, a support for my life down here. Now, my daughter, listen to another love surprise of your Jesus and of our Heavenly Mother. In all we did, love was never obstructed between us. The love of one ran into the love of the other to form one single life. But in wanting to do the same with creatures, how many obstructions, rejections, ingratitudes do we find? You must know that as my inseparable mother laid her maternity inside and outside of my humanity, so she was made and confirmed as mother of every thought, every breath, every heartbeat and word of creatures, placing her maternity in their works, in their steps and in all their sufferings. Her maternity runs everywhere. If creatures are in danger of falling into sin, she covers them with her maternity to prevent them from falling. And if they do, she leaves her maternity as help and defense, to make them stand up again. Her maternity runs and lays also on the souls who want to be good and holy, as if she found her Jesus in them. She becomes mother of their intelligence, and guide of their words, covering and hiding them in her maternal love, in order to grow as many other Jesuses. Her maternity shows on the beds of the dying. Using the rights of authority as mother given to her by me, in such a tender tone that I cannot refuse her anything, she says, "My son, I am the mother, and they are my children. I must save them. If you don't grant me this, my maternity would be compromised." And as she says this, she covers them with her love, hiding them with her maternity to rescue them. My love was such that I told her, "Mother, I want you to be the mother of all, And I want you to do for all creatures all that you have done for me, laying your maternity in all their acts so that I will see them covered and hidden in your maternal love. My mother accepted and remained confirmed, not only as the mother of all, but also as the one who would invest each of their acts with her maternal love. This was one of the greatest graces I have given to the whole of human generations. But what pains does my mother not receive? Creatures even reach the point of not wanting to recognize her maternity, of denying it. Therefore the whole of heaven prays and anxiously waits for the divine will to be known and to reign. Then, the great queen will do to the children of my will what she did for her Jesus, and her maternity will have life in her children. I will give my own place in her maternal heart to those who live in my will. She will raise them for me, guiding their steps and hiding them in her maternity and sanctity. Her maternal love and her sanctity will be impressed in all their acts. They will be her true children, being like me in everything. Oh! How I would love everyone to know that if they want to live in my will, they have a queen and a powerful mother who will compensate for all they lack. She will raise them on her maternal lap, being with them in everything they do, molding their acts as her own. To the extent that they will be known as the children grown, kept and educated by the loving maternity of my mama. These will be the ones who will make her happy, the ones who will be her glory and honor.